Our text today comes from the Epistle of Titus, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. For the overseer must be above reproach, as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. A quick note before I begin, I was working on the sermon and feeling just a bit guilty about the direction it was going until I realized the rubric allows for a sermon or catechetical instruction. You may choose which this is. 2 days ago, it was St. Timothy's feast. Now today, the other half of our chapel pair of namesakes gets his due. Beyond the fact that he was one of Paul's pastors, one of the very first pastors of the early church, I suspect that most of us probably don't know much about Titus. We know about Timothy. We know about his youthful aspect, and we know about his archbook upbringing by Eunice and Lois. The windows, they remind us of that every time we come in here. And I know a lot of guys named Timothy, even a couple of churches named Timothy, but none named Titus. What little I've learned of Titus, though, what little anyone can learn of Titus, has given me a new sense of appreciation for this companion of Paul, this pastor maker. In fact, I think I like Titus now. I'll admit, I used to have rather indifferent or even negative thoughts when I heard of Titus. Maybe it was something with the dorm with the same name in Ann Arbor. Or maybe it's my mental image of Titus, a bald gray beard with vacant eyes and a crooked neck, staring into heaven like an empty-headed mystic. I don't know where I got that impression. But now I know better. Now I know that Titus was Paul's go-to man. When a congregation or a region was having some chronic church problem, it was Titus. It was Titus who was given the mess to clean up. And so he did, in Corinth, in Ephesus, and in Crete. And with the authority of the apostle, with the authority of Christ, Titus did his work, putting things in order and appointing pastors. How much Titus talked to the people about his choices, you can take that up with Walther. But it is clear that this was the responsibility of Titus. Titus was a pastor maker. But you're probably not thinking that much about Titus this morning. The letter may bear his name, and the instructions from Paul may be directed to Titus, but the thing that likely grabbed your attention again this morning, the thing that may very well still be echoing and re-echoing in your thoughts, is very likely the last part of the reading, the list. It is quite fascinating, actually. For all the things that Scripture doesn't bother to tell us about the office of the holy ministry, all the things we wish it would tell us explicitly, the one thing that is recorded in excruciating detail, and twice for good measure, is the list of qualifications necessary for a man to be a pastor. Titus needed to know what he was looking for if he was going to make pastors, as he worked to appoint pastors in every place. And so Paul, well, that is the Holy Spirit, provided the list of qualifications. A man who is a steward of God, who is above reproach, is recognized by the absence of 5 negative characteristics and the presence of 7 positive characteristics. What a coincidence, 7. Paul is quite explicit. Not self-willed. Not quick-tempered. Not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain. 5 vices, strictly forbidden. Then on the other hand, He must be hospitable, loving the good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word. Seven virtues that are to define every holder of the office, without exception. Oh, and don't forget, husband of one wife and good Christian children. The list is really quite astounding, sounding for all the world like a litany of virtues from a Greek philosopher or a medieval moralist. In fact, many of the words actually do appear on the virtue list of the Greeks, word for word. It's almost a little troubling, especially if you're one of those who is actively studying for the office of the holy ministry. In that case, the words are suddenly, disturbingly relevant. And you begin to wonder, does my pastor meet all these criteria? Does my husband or fiance meet all these criteria? Do my classmates even come close to living up to these seven virtues? Do I? This list of virtues is uncomfortably relevant. Of course, we don't have to let them remain relevant, do we? I mean, we're New Testament people. We're Lutheran, for crying out loud. We know better than to live under the law. We know that lists of virtues are fundamentally, notoriously, just traps of self-righteousness waiting to be sprung shut on unsuspecting, overzealous saints. And so we decide pietism is not allowed. The only thing we can do is must bring this list into submission. This list must be brought into submission to the gospel. In the face of these demands and expectations and requirements, we need to declare gospel freedom. Stop beating ourselves up. Stop judging other people. Stop holding other people accountable to impossible demands and standards. And start affirming each other in the marvelous, comforting, leveling reality of grace. That's the thing to do. Away with exclusivity, away with the guilt, away with the judgments, away with the list. It feels good to shake it off. It's freeing, it's liberating, it's comforting. It's wrong. Regardless the motive, one cannot do an end run around the requirements and trump them into meaningless irrelevance with mishandled gospel. Paul is no legalist, mind you. He knows an enemy of the gospel when he sees him, and he will spare no wrath for such a detestable deceiver. Just read a little further in Titus. But Paul is an apostle quite fond of order. And Paul knows the critical importance of having men who will teach and live and deliver order in their ministry among God's people. That's why the Holy Spirit provides the list. The list is not a choice bit of law meant merely to make us feel guilty, humble, and repentant, though it will do that. It is provided because it is to be followed. These are not the requirements for faith. This is not the requirement list for discipleship or anything of the sort, but these are the requirements for a man who would be a pastor. And they are to be followed, not to be ignored, not to be brushed aside. Are these pastoral requirements rather exacting? Yes. Do these requirements exclude some, many people? Yes. Is it frightening to consider the ordeal of an examination based on these criteria? Yes. Are you ready for such an inquiry? Do you meet Paul's standards? Would Titus pick you? Do you have what it takes? Can you live up to the list? Honestly, I don't know. and making such determinations is not the business of this morning. And quite frankly, it's really not yours to decide anyway. The church, God's pastor maker today, the church will decide if you've got what it takes. The church, with its contemporary Pauls and Tituses with list in hand, will let you know. Until then, well, keep doing what God gives you to do. Keep studying to show yourself approved. Keep working to prepare yourself for works of service. Keep presenting yourself to the teachers so that you may be shaped and readied and directed into the place that God has prepared for you. And He does have one just for you. And it could very well be far more than you ever expected. Perhaps when the time comes, the church's determination will surprise even you and give you far more than you would have ever entrusted yourself to do. The church will decide. God will decide. He'll give His church the pastor it needs, and the pastor the church needs is the one described here in Titus, the man with the seven virtues. He's the man who's got what it takes to be a steward of the plan. He's the kind of man who will conform to God's purposes, take his cues from God's design, and be unmoved by the winds of fad and fashion and felt needs. He knows that God's list of criteria matters more than any human list of expectations or requirements for this man. Not everyone meets the requirements of the list. Not every Christian is cut out to be a steward of God's plan. But every Christian does certainly have a place in the plan. Maybe you can't live up to the list. Maybe you haven't been given what it takes to be a pastor. God won't always give every believer the qualifications of the pastor list. But He will always, always give the goods from His grace list. What you don't have and what you most need, He will always give you. Forgiveness, freedom from guilt, comfort and assurance, security in the face of disaster and death, purpose for your living today, the promise of resurrection life forever. This He most certainly gives you, always. What it takes is Jesus. And Jesus you've got. Well, actually, Jesus has got you. And Jesus will get his pastor, and that pastor will be just the kind of man that Titus was looking for, just the kind of man that the church needed, just the kind of man that the church still needs. A man prepared and shaped by God, a man who meets the criteria of the list, a man who brings the gospel, a man who delivers Jesus. God grant it to his church today. Amen.